This is the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with head coach Tucker Pruitt on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Cunningham Jewelers, Advanced Rehab, and by Camden Pharmacy. And now, here's your host, Michael Spears.
Welcome to the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with head coach Tucker Pruitt on the Bishop Media Sports Network. This Wildcats Coaches Show is sponsored by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, and by Cunningham Jewelers, Advanced Rehab, and by Camden Pharmacy. And now joining us, the head coach of the Camden County Wildcats, Coach Tucker Pruitt. Good morning, Coach. How are you doing?
Good morning. Doing great.
Coach, Friday was the first loss of the season, 27-23 at Benedictine. But it was a four-quarter game against a very good, very well, obviously very well-coached program. After watching the film, what was your kind of overall assessment on how your team played?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing you got to do is you got to give credit to Benedictine. You know, they got a great team, very talented, very physical, very well coached, just like you mentioned. And, the second thing I think you do is whenever you lose a game, it gives everybody the opportunity to kind of self-reflect on what can I do better. And I know it starts with me. There's things that I can do better. There's adjustments that I need to make. There's adjustments that our coaching staff needs to make. And there's enough blame to go around. So, you know, what I told the coaches and the kids are, you know, when we lose a game, we lose as a team. When we win a game, we win as a team. We're not going to point fingers and do all that because there's room for growth in every area, sure. Starting from the head coach to the coaching staff, the offense, the defense, the special teams. We had our opportunities. We played well at times. Our kids played hard, but we didn't do enough, you know. I told the guys going in there's going to be a small margin for error. Knowing how good Benedictine is, you can't go out there and miss field goals and have high snaps and bust coverages. We just made too many mistakes to win the game, and I'm proud of our kids for playing hard, but we got to clean a lot of things up and continue to get better.
So a lot of things that I've read about you in the paper and all this kind of stuff of late, you've talked a lot about learning how to play the next play. I've heard that as a quote a bunch. Friday seemed like a good test of that because, you know, Benedictine hit some big plays, but your guys kept answering and, you know, had a chance late. What did you learn about your team from the way they handled that adversity?
Well, we're getting better at that. You know, I think kids can naturally be emotional, and if something doesn't go their way, boy, we want to pout. But we're learning, you know, and that's one thing we're doing is we're building a culture here. We're not just building a football team. We're teaching a lot more in football. We're teaching how to handle success, how to handle adversity, how to be a good teammate, how to get better each and every week and accept accountability and responsibility. And so, you know, we're still in the building phases of that, but I'm proud of kind of how we've done that so far. I think, if anything, we're better at handling adversity right now than we are success because Monday and Tuesday's practice were not very good. I think we were still kind of feeling good about the previous week, and we didn't pay the price like we needed to on Monday and Tuesday. And I remember telling the kids then, you know, when you practice like this, you're due for a wake-up call. And we got our wake-up call, and hopefully we'll learn from it. There's a lot of areas that we can get better and be a more disciplined team, you know, whether that's the week of practice, the penalties. We're making adjustments. And on that last touchdown, we made the linebacker shouldn't have walked down, and we should have had a safety over the guy that caught the ball. Yeah. But the coaches are making adjustments, and the player just wasn't paying attention, you know. And so that's not a sign of a disciplined football team. Another thing we talked about is Thursday. I got a picture from Coach Vendette, our locker room. We're not picking up trash and just throwing clothes on the ground. So normally when you don't have any attention to detail and any discipline in the little things, that's right. You don't have any attention to detail and any discipline in the big things either. And that's where we're at right now. I told the kids – we didn't lose that game because we weren't good enough. We didn't lose that game because, you know, they were just so much better than us and we're terrible. We lost that game because we're not a disciplined football team yet. From the way we practice to the way we clean up our locker room, from the way we listen when coaches are telling us what to do. You know, we got linebackers out there supposed to be reading guard. The guard's pulling to them, and they're running the other way because their eyes are in the backfield. And so just a lot of signs that we still got a lot of room for improvement in the area of discipline.
All right, this is the Camden County Coaches Show with head coach Tucker Pruitt on the Bishop Media Sports Network. So their running back receiver, I don't know how he was kind of listed on the thing there, Aaron Mallard, I think is his name, finished 163 rushing yards on 9 carries, and Stanley Smart had, you know, 140 about on 10 carries. These are my stats that I've kind of accumulated here could be off a little bit. Those are two pretty explosive players. Looking back at the film, what caused the problems in the run defense and how much of it came down to misfit or missed tackles? I know you kind of mentioned some of that stuff a second ago.
Yeah, I would say all of the above. You know, going into the game, we knew those guys were elite. After the game, we can confirm that they are elite.
Yes, sir.
We knew we wouldn't stop them, but we hoped to contain them better than we did. We didn't tackle well. We were soft on the edges. You know, we knew when they got in the open field, we weren't going to be able to catch them. And so we had to get them before they got going. And at times we did, but at times we didn't. But the good thing we did do on that side of the ball is we created two turnovers.
Absolutely.
And without those two turnovers, it would have gotten ugly. And so those turnovers kept us in the game. But like I said, the blown coverage late was a big one. And then we got to find a way to start faster. You know, if you look at the Bowles game, the Brunswick game, the Glenn game, and the Benedictine game, these guys are getting the ball in the first drive. They're going down and scoring a touchdown. And we'd like to start faster and play from ahead. You know, now I thought we did the third quarter really well. We tell our kids all the time the most important drive of the game is the first drive of the third quarter. We want to go out there and capture that momentum out of the locker room. And I thought we did that. We came right out and got a turnover.
Yeah.
We went down the field and we scored. We got the two-point conversion. And then we forced the only punt of the night and then got the ball and was driving down when the third quarter ended. So we completely dominated the third quarter. But the problem was that drive ended with the high snap and then they scored three plays later and we never got the momentum back. So back and forth game, you know. There's definitely one really good team, hopefully two good football teams
there
going at it. And the margin for error was small. Those running backs and playmakers they had were elite, and they played better than we did. They coached better than we did, and we got to learn from it.
So on the other hand, you know, Benedictine's quarterback, Amari Burst, he was held to just 150 passing yards. He threw five touchdowns the week before. It felt like the passing game was shut down decently. Were you pleased at all with some of the way the secondary handled the passing game and some of those downfield shots?
Yeah, well, truth be told, we prepared a little bit more for the passing game than what we got. They didn't do a bunch of passing, and the reason why is because we didn't stop their running. They didn't have to. So
right.
I don't know that we held the guy to 150 yards. They just didn't need to throw the ball because they could hand it to number 7 and number 0, and they were going up and down the field. So he still had a huge touchdown there at the end. He converted some third downs. And so I think they're like us and like every offensive coordinator. They're going to do whatever they have to do to win. And when the run game's working, there's no need to throw the ball.
All right. Offensively for you guys, Malachi Poole ran for 71 yards. Again, these are my stats that I'm compiling up there. Two touchdowns on look like 11 carries. Benedictine's coach, I watched an interview with him afterwards. He specifically talked about how much trouble Camden's Wildcat, Buffalo, or Notre Dame box package gave them. What did you like about the way that package worked on Friday night?
Well, you know, we used it to get in the end zone when we had the ball down short and we were able to convert on that. But to be honest with you, we didn't get as much movement and stuff as I would like to. And again, you got to credit Benedictine on that. But we're doing some guys both ways. I don't know if you noticed Sean Green played some corner and Pocket's been over there playing a little corner. And so we need that for a bunch of reasons. We need that to convert short distance downs. We need that to score when we get in the goal line area. And then we need that sometimes to just spell our wideouts when they're tired to be able to get in something and give them a play or two to catch their breath. But we're getting better in that. There's actually been some things we saw with the personnel that some guys that aren't playing up to the standard that we believe they need to be playing. And so we're going to give some other guys a chance this week.
Good.
And just going to continue to try to build it. But so far we've been able to convert in that, and we got to continue to be better at the fundamentals, the pad level, you know, moving people, our tracks kicking out, because when we get in that stuff, there's not a whole lot of secrets. I mean, they know what's coming, and most people got a good plan for it. So it's man on man, and we've got to really be the bigger, stronger, tougher team when we get in that situation.
All right, more to come on the Wildcats Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Right now, these words from our sponsors.
Under the Friday night lights, we're at a weekend practice. Sports injuries happen fast. But Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery is already on your team. Trusted by local schools across Glynn County and coastal Georgia. Across our three clinics, we bring that same athletic expertise to active families with fast, convenient care. Backed by Southeast Georgia Health System, we're here to get you back safely in the game. Visit sghs.org/summit to learn more. That's sghs.org/SUMMIT.
For 20 years, Camden Pharmacy has been the go-to local pharmacy for all of our friends and neighbors in Camden County. Conveniently located across from the hospital at 214B Professional Circle in St. Mary's, Camden Pharmacy offers a wide range of products to our customers. Whether it's children's medications, vet medications, compound medications for hormone therapy, OTC medications, wound care, home care, Camden Pharmacy has you covered. Free delivery for two medications or more. 912-673-8220 or online CamdenRx.com.
Welcome back to the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with Head Coach Tucker Pruitt on the Bishop Media Sports Network. This segment's brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery and by Cunningham Jewelers. So Benedictine also said they made some halftime adjustments to try to slow down that Wildcat look. What did they change defensively, and how did that affect what you wanted to do in the second half?
Yeah, I think our center had a high snap on fourth and two. That's what changed because we moved the ball like we wanted to move the ball. We moved the ball all the way down the field, and then on fourth and two, we just had a mess up there and a high snap, and if we convert that, the game would be a lot different. We had all the momentum right there. I think we were up six on the 28, 30-yard line, somewhere right down there. You know, I wish we were in a little bit different situation than we're in with our field goal team.
Sure.
We've missed a field goal in every game we played. We're 0 for 3, and we don't have a whole lot of confidence in that group right now, and there's no reason to have any confidence in that group. But it would be great when you get the ball down there if you could convert that and have confidence in your field goal team. You can at least make it a 9-point game. That's a two-possession game in a situation like that. That would have been huge. But we didn't do it. We didn't get to that because we had an unfortunate mistake there. And, again, that's where that margin of error thing comes back in.
Yes, sir. You know?
Nobody's messing up on purpose. These kids aren't blowing these coverages on purpose. We're not snapping the ball high and missing our field goals on purpose. But we just made too many mistakes to beat a great team like Benedictine.
So Xavier Collins finished 12 of 19, about 118 yards and a touchdown. After two real efficient games to start the season, what did Benedictine do to make the passing game a little bit more difficult for him?
Yeah, you know, coming off the Glenn Academy game, we took a lot of shots down the field.
Absolutely.
And the first thing that Benedictine does is they match up with us a lot better because they've got those same guys that we talked about on offense are back there in the secondary. I don't know if you saw number two at safety, but he was about 6'4", 6'5".
He has a large guy
so,
back end.
So, you know, they had better personnel to start with. And so that was the first thing. But the second thing is they played off coverage. They were giving us the underneath stuff, and I thought in the first half we did a good job of just taking the hitches to Sean, staying on schedule, taking our 5 to 8 yards, taking what they're giving us. And then the second half, they did a little bit more of coming up in Sean's face to take that stuff away and playing a safety over the top for the deep ball there. And, again, until the last series or two, I mean, they weren't stopping us. You know, I mean, we got the ball the first drive, and we went right down and scored and got the 2-point conversion. We got the next drive, and we went all the way down and had the bad snap. And so the illusion that they made a bunch of adjustments and stopped us, they stopped us when we snapped the ball high, and then they stopped us once they got the lead. I think we had a 3-and-out there, and then the last drive we threw the interception. And at that point in time, we weren't in the single-wing stuff. But Sean's going to get a lot of attention, and
yes,
I think
sir.
That's going to be a cat-and-mouse game between coaching staffs for the rest of the year. We've got to find a way to get Sean involved. They're going to try to find a way to take Sean out of the game. And so I don't know if you saw, we lined him up as some running back and motion back. We're going to continue to have to do a lot of stuff and be creative to get him the ball. But he had some catches and some touches. We would like to get him more, and we would like to get him more down the field. But, again, we got to take what they give us. And if they're going to play underneath with a corner and over top with a safety, we got to have numbers in the box to win, and we got to have numbers to the other side to win. And as other people step up, hopefully that'll help get us Sean one-on-one.
So speaking of Sean, he nearly broke a kickoff run late before the kicker helped make that tackle. How close was that one to going, you think? Like, that's I thought he was – like, we were almost ready to scream up there. And then what do you think overall of your special team's effort? We're always kind of surprised that they kick it to him, to kick it to them. Because if I remember, they kind of squibbed or high-kicked it to start, and then they kicked to Quan and Sean, which is always surprising to us because both of those guys are just magical with the ball in their hands.
Yeah, I mean, they were skying it and having some success, and for whatever reason, they went to kicking it deep, and we didn't bust any, but we were close. And I think
really
Sean
close.
And Quan got them out to the 40 or midfield. And so that team's been really close. Anytime those guys get the ball in their hand, there's a chance for a huge play. And, you know, they did good when they did that. I don't know why they decided to kick it deep, but you're right. Most people probably aren't going to do that. And so when they do, we need to make them pay. As far as the other special teams, I was really pleased with our punt team.
A couple of great punts, yes.
Right. And prior to this game, we haven't punted. So we didn't know where we were with that team. But I thought Conley had a great game punt. I think he had two punts kind of inside the 5 or 6 yard line right there and flipped the field. So we're going to continue to invest in that. And I thought our kickoff team did a great job. Obviously, we didn't want to kick it to number 7 or number 0, so we were in the sky business. But our kickers can do a better job of getting a little more air on it. Mm-hmm. We'd really like to force a fair catch. But they at least are getting it to the numbers where we can use the sideline as an extra defender, and those guys don't have much room, and we can get on them. And so I thought the kickoff team and the punt team did really well, and the big black eye right now in special teams is our field goal operation.
You're listening to the Wildcats Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. So Benedictine kicked a 42-yard field goal just before halftime and then a 23-yarder with 2:48 left to make it 27-23. From a coaching standpoint, what's the difference between being up by – 4 and being up by 1, I'm not asking you to put on the other coach's hat, but in a game decided by 4 points, how much do those special teams plays and field position really end up mattering?
Man, in a game like that, everything matters.
Yeah.
Every point matters. Every two-point conversion, every field goal, every missed field goal, every first down, every turnover, you know, and you put all that into the pot.
Sure.
And you mix it up, and you get a winner. And so – we didn't just play terrible, but we got to get better in a lot of areas, and we just didn't quite play good enough to win. We're not quite disciplined enough to go on the road into a place like Benedictine and beat them yet. And so we're going to continue to work on our culture. We're going to continue to try to find a way to be better coaches and put our kids in better chances to be successful. And then our kids got a part in this too. You know, they've got to listen. Sure. They've got to practice harder. They got to pay the price. When we're making adjustments, they've got to be able to go execute that. We got to do the common things like snap the ball and kick a 30-yard field goal. I mean, we got 3,000 kids in our school, and we can't make a field goal. And they got a sophomore on the other side that's drilling 42-yarders. And so we just got to improve. We got to get better, and we're kind of to the point now where we're done talking about last week. I mean, not with you guys in the media and all, but with our team, we're done talking about last week. But we talked about it a lot Sunday, and I think anytime you're dealing with kids, a loss really hits home, you know. And so they know that they know we practiced bad. They know we didn't execute good. They know we're better than we played. And so when you lose, you get their attention, and thankfully they're responding the right way. But we talked yesterday about – why do we have to lose a game to focus and practice right? Like, if you're a ball carrier, why do you have to fumble to get serious about your ball security?
Sure.
If you're a starter, why do you have to get your job taken by somebody under you before you wake up? We should be doing this because it's the right thing to do, and it's what you got to do if you want to be a champion. And so I think we're responding the right way, but hopefully we'll learn to do this stuff before the failure or the loss or the mistake.
All right, we'll be right back to the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with Head Coach Tucker Pruitt on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
No matter if you are a professional athlete, play under Friday night lights at Chris Gilman Stadium, or a weekend warrior, injuries are a part of life. Here at Advanced Rehab, our focus is getting you back in the game faster. Personalized treatment plans, cutting-edge rehab, including our newest device, Light Force High Intensity Laser Therapy, dry needling, and more. Located off Kings Bay Road, we have been serving Camden County since 1996 and are the official physical therapy provider for Camden County Athletics. Request an appointment today at advancedrehab.com.
Cunningham Jewelers is a proud supporter of local athletics, and just like you, we enjoy Friday Night Lights. Whether it's natural talent or coaching-created talent, they both win games. And whether it's Earth Mine Diamonds or Lab Mine Diamonds, they both look great in her ears or on her finger. Cunningham Jewelers in historic downtown Brunswick, 912-265-8652, or online, cunninghamjewelers.com.
Welcome back to the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with Head Coach Tucker Pruitt on the Bishop Media Sports Network. My name is Mike Spears. This segment's brought to you by Camden Pharmacy and Advanced Rehab. So, Coach, now you come back home Friday night to face Amos P. Godbey High School out of Tallahassee. They're 2-1. They've got wins over Rickards and Pensacola Catholic, and then a one-point loss to Mosley. What stands out to you first when you look at Godbey on film?
A lot of speed and a lot of athleticism. They've got a 5-star wide receiver who will also play a little bit of DB, and he's a problem. And another problem is when you look at the film, you can't tell which one's him because they got a guy on the other side that looks kind of similar. The running back is a good player. They're more pass than they are run. The quarterback's like a 6'5 kid with a really big arm. I think they do some good stuff with their scheme. They got screen game, run game. They can challenge you vertically and horizontally. And so, you know, another big task for our defense. And then if you flip over, their defense is a 4-2-5. They got a lot of athleticism in the secondary, a lot of good team speed. Nobody's really been scoring a ton of points on them. Yeah. So it'll be another big challenge. And the biggest challenge is the work we got to do on us. You know, the biggest challenge is making sure that we're practicing the right way, that we're improving on the mistakes that we made last week. We need to make sure we do that, and then we'll play Godby as well.
So you mentioned the passing game, but, you know, just looking at some of their running stats as well, they got that guy, Cameron McMillan's got 458 rushing yards through three games, 181 yards and two touchdowns against Pensacola Catholic. You know, what is it that makes him dangerous to you guys?
Well, he can just go. I mean, he, you know, first off, you can't load the box because there's a five-star receiver out there, and he demands a double team. So that means the box looks better for the run to start with. And then you get him the ball, and he makes people miss. He breaks tackles. He outruns people. He'll go into a pile, and you think you got him, and he pops out of there. I think he's a strong guy. I hadn't seen him in person, but on film, he looks like his lower half of his body's really thick, and he's been in the weight room. And so the numbers, you know, is going to be a big challenge for our defense this week. We're going to have to pick and choose times to bring pressure and play man, which is really dangerous. We're going to have to pick times to show pressure and double-team their main guy and be vulnerable in the box. And so it's going to be a little cat and mouse, you know, trying to mix that up and give them different looks.
All right, this is the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with Tucker Pruitt on the Bishop Media Sports Network. So defensively, Coach, Godby recorded a 4.5 sacks against Pensacola Catholic. When you look at their front, what concerns do you have about their ability to create pressure and disrupt your backfield?
Yeah, they're really good at rushing the quarterback, and I think that goes back to their team speed. They play really hard, you know, and some of their guys are a little bit undersized, but they're quicker. You know, I told our guys the other day, they've got a couple guys on the interior that are bigger, stronger guys, but some of the littler guys, they're up there just looking for a crease. They're looking for a crack that they can penetrate through, and they do it. They get skinny and got good acceleration. So we're going to need to get the ball out of our hands. You know, we're going to need to be able to throw when we want to, not when we have to.
Yes, sir.
Stay ahead of the chains, get rid of all these penalties that we seem to have every drive. And but it'll be a big challenge. You know, we'll see after that first or second series, you know, how they're playing us, how we match up physically. But we need to run the ball to start with and then find ways to get it to Sean and get it to our playmakers and really find some ways to neutralize their team speed.
So one of the things that's interesting to me when I look at what they've done so far this season, they've had one game that was a comfortable win. Then they had a 32-31 loss, tight game like that, and then a 21-10 win, you know, kind of a blowout, a loss, and then one you had to kind of struggle through. Does that tell you anything about their ability to play different styles of football?
Yeah, I don't know. We kind of look at the whole body of work and really just look at what they are as a team and who they are. I mean, they've been in some good games against some good teams, so they've been tested. We're getting to the close to the midway point of the year, so everybody's not brand new anymore. But I think more so than the teams they played or the schedule they've been through or the points they scored is just the talent they have as a team. Very rarely do you play against a five-star player.
Sure.
I mean, even down here in South Georgia, you know,
a true
five-star athlete. Very rarely does that happen. And so he's not a five-star just because. He's a five-star because I saw him on ESPN about three or four weeks ago making a catch. Like, he's the real deal. And so that is more scary to us than who they played or what the score's been. It's just their potential. They could be 0-3 right now, and I'd be just as scared because they got the potential to come in here and beat us if we don't control what we can control and we don't go out there and play our best football.
All right, after a physical road game at Benedictine, what's been the biggest point of emphasis at practice this week as you try to get your team back in the win column?
I think the biggest emphasis is, you know, if you want to win, there's a price to pay. And if you think you can cheat that, you know, and come out and go through the motions and still win, then shame on you. Yeah. You should have learned last week. And if you don't, you may need another couple losses before you learn. I told the kids Sunday, whenever the game was over or not over, when we threw that interception and they realized it was over, there was a lot of kids on our sideline that were just really sulking, man. They were down, they were disheartened, and they were discouraged, and man, it was just really rough. But when we had those bad practices on Monday and Tuesday, I didn't see anybody acting like that. They weren't upset, they weren't sad, and I know why, because they thought they could practice like that and still win. But now they know that they can't, you know. So my message to them is you're going to get what you earn. You're going to reap what you sow. And if you're going to have some bad practices, don't be shocked that you lose a game, because that's going to be the result of it.
All right, Coach, thanks for giving me a couple minutes this morning. As always, I really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us on the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with Tucker Pruitt on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Be sure to join us each and every week during the season right here. My name is Mike Spears, signing off.